This is going to be a ting. It's going to be a ting, and I'm going to put it up, and it's going to be a ting that you can listen to. So make of that what you will. You probably will. You'll make of that what you will. That doesn't bother me. It's all fine. This program is issued under a make of it what you will license. I still claim all rights, but it's a thing. Basically, it's a thing. So, you join me for this week's episode of a thing. And I've been awake since 2:30 a.m. and I'm very tired. I'm very, very tired. I'm too tired to be doing this. I can't think of anything to say. I'm thinking, even if I could, I'd be incapable of forming it into a coherent paragraph. Which would be, even if I could, it would be of no use. Paragraphs aren't of any use in the audio world. You can't do an audio paragraph, unless you're doing an audio book, which this isn't an audio book. I'm not going to write a book of each episode and then read it to you. That would take absolutely fucking hours. I have to write the book first. I have to write whatever number of words you need to fill up half an hour of audio entertainment. And that would be ridiculous. If I'm going to do that, the way to do it would be to record the show first and then transcribe it and turn that into a book of the show and then record an audio book of the show, which would be absolutely fucking ridiculous. Who would I get to do it for a start? I'd have to get Joanne to do it. And then next week I'd have to transcribe her audio book and make a book out of that and then record that as a show myself. That'd be a vicious circle, loaded with viciousness and sprung like a spring that's being sprung and tightened and put somewhere, and it's got viciousness all loaded up and it's ready to go as soon as someone triggers the spring. It's like one of those, what do you call them, toys. It's like it's a spring with a happy face on it, and it goes bouncy, 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 bouncy. And it's hours of entertainment. That's what a spring is. A spring is hours of entertainment. 3 months to be exact. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking it's lashing rain outside now, and this is supposed to be spring, but it's not. Well, I wasn't talking about the seasons. I was talking about a spring being a thing made of wire that's spring-loaded. That's what it is. A spring is a spring-loaded thing that's being sprung with kinetic energy. It's basically a bag of kinetic energy waiting to be let out, except it's not in a bag. It's in a metal springy thing. So that's what a spring is, for those of you who don't know. I should probably go and enter this up in Wikipedia right now, so if you'll excuse me for a moment, I'll go and do that. Tremendously exciting moment. This is my third go at recording this segment. I've recorded several minutes of excellent material for you. After the first go failed, I realised that this wasn't recording properly. I started again and I attempted to say all the same stuff over again because I didn't want you to be deprived, but that didn't work out either. I dropped my recording device and it failed to save the recording. So I suppose I have to start again and say what I said before again. So as I was saying before I dropped the recording device, it's been 8 exciting days since I last spoke to you. Now that's a week and a day, which is 1 point something weeks. Let's work it out. It'd be 1 point, 1/7 of a week. That's 1/7 of 100%. 10, 14. 14.34 recurring. 1.1314 recurring weeks. I don't know. I can't know. I'm not geared up for a maths quiz at the moment. But I was geared up for a maths quiz a few days ago. I did an aptitude test for a position that I'm applying for and involves maths. And I can tell you, I was well geared up for mathematics then. I drank some Red Bull before the exam, and I did some practice tests, and got myself all liquored up, basically. All mathematically liquored up. Not actually liquored up, it was mathematically liquored up. Although I suppose that doesn't make sense, I should say. That mathematically sobered up, because the idea was to have my brain working straight, and have a clear mind, ready to think about mathematics. Nothing cluttering up my mind, other than a few spare multiplication signs and some equal signs, ready to bear some equations that were going to be thrown at me during a 7-minute aptitude test, during which I had to attempt to answer 40 or 32 questions. I can't remember which. I could remember which at the time, but as I say, now I'm not geared up to think about arithmetic. Anyway, I answered. I answered every single one of those questions. I figured I'd finish the last one just as the bell rang. Except the bell sounded like a whistle or something else. Or in fact, no, that's not what it sounded like. It sounded like a person saying, "Stop, put your pens down." I was trying to remember what the actual signal used for the end of the test was, but I couldn't. But now I remember. It was someone saying, "Stop, put down your pens," and several people put down their pens. And we all wondered why they were using pens when it was a pencil mandatory test. It was one of those tests where you get a pencil and you fill in a square. It's a multiple choice test, and it says, complete the following equation, 2 plus 2 equals, and then you'd have 5 choices. It'd be 1, or 2, or 3, or 4, or 5. And your job would be to pick the number 4. Now, of course, this would be answer number 4, but it would also be the answer 4. So that caused no confusion whatsoever, because the 4 matched perfectly with the number of the answer. It was the 4th possible answer, and it was also the number 4. So that was perfect. That wasn't the case for all of the questions, unfortunately, because life just isn't as simple as that. But there you go. Now, I know what you're thinking. I've noticed the contrast between the first two segments of this show. I've noticed that in the first segment, he seems almost asleep. He's sounding tired and downcast and less than energetic. But then in the next segment, he's all full of energy. I wouldn't exactly say he's jumping over the moon, because of course that's not everything. If you say anything about anyone doing anything to the moon, you start a conspiracy theory, because no one believes anything about the moon, especially if it involves people going near it or jumping over it. So no, I wouldn't say he was over the moon, but I would say that in the second segment he sounds comparatively more awake and alert and more energetic. You can see it, you can hear it in his voice. So that's basically what you're thinking there. Well, what I'm thinking in response to that is that I noticed that the battery indicator on my portable voice recorder is edging very low towards the zero mark, and I don't want it to run out of battery in mid-sentence. So if you'll excuse me for a moment, I'm going to attend to that, and I'm going to press stop. Now, that's been attended to, the thing that I referred to at the end of the previous segment. Hopefully it is at the end of the previous segment. Sometimes I rearrange the segments during the editing process. So I suppose I should put in here a note to myself, to the future me during the editing process. Keep this segment in such a place that it comes consecutively straight after the previous segment. Now, if you've already rearranged them, you're probably going to wonder which segment I'm talking about. So hopefully you, the future me, has kept a note of what segments what order the segments were in when you took them off the recorder and before you started rearranging them. That's what I'd have done if I were you. So hopefully you've done the same. Before I sent you off into the future, I should have had a few words with you about this. There's no point waiting until you're in the future already. In fact, on future time travel trips, I will debrief you, or not the opposite of debrief. I don't know. The type of briefing that you have before you go somewhere. I'll give you a... let's call it an unbrief. I'll give you an unbriefing before you go into the future and future times. Although I suppose right here now, where I am now, is the point where you, the future me, starts to depart from this present. So really, right now, where I am now, that's where your journey begins, and that's where I should be doing the unbriefing. So I suppose I'll do it now. Hello, me. You're going to start a trip into the future starting now. It's not a proper time travel trip, in fact. You're not going to be getting on some sort of time travel ship, but you are going to travel through time. You're going to travel on time. You're going to go with the flow. It's as if you're floating along on air or floating along on waves. You're following the waves. You're following the time waves. In fact, you're going to follow the course of time at the exact speed of time. You're going to sit here and carry on with your life until the time passes and becomes the future. That's what I'm trying to say. Time is going to pass, and eventually you're going to be in the future, and you won't have to travel there, but you will reach the future just by the passage of time, unless of course you die in the meantime. In which case, I don't know what we're going to do. But anyway, this is your unbriefing before you go. When you get into the future, probably around 4 hours into the future, in fact, you're going to get to a stage where you'll be editing this podcast. And what I need you to know is that this segment needs to come straight after the previous segment for it to make sense. You can't rearrange them in any other way, because it won't work then. It won't be linear. Time won't be linear. As you know yourself, as a time traveller, time has to be linear. Otherwise it doesn't work. So anyway, I hope that's clear, and I'll see you sometime next year for the debriefing when you come back. I suppose when you come back and join up with the present me of the future. By the way, hello to the present me of the future, if you're listening. You're probably not. You're probably still part of me, come to think of it. You haven't left me yet. You're still... it's like that bit in that series of movies, Back to the Future, before time splits and they go off, and there's an evil branch of time and there's a nice branch of time, and they end up in the evil one where everything's gone bad. I suppose it's not really like that, but... I seem to fall back on the Back to the Future films for all of my examples of time travel lately. That's probably a bad habit. You can't learn everything from Steven Spielberg. He's the guy who thinks that he's the guy who thinks that aliens phone home. He thinks they pick up a telephone and say, "Operator, put me through to home." And the operator says, "Where is home?" And E.T. says, "I don't know. I'm only a little baby alien. That's why I can't talk properly. All I can say is, E.T. phone home." So basically, put me through to wherever I'm from. And the operator says, "Do you want me to put you through to Childline? It's a support group set up for children who are lost, who have lost their way, or who are upset or having trouble. And they basically don't know where they're going," which seems to be the case with you. Then E.T. will say, "E.T. phone home." And the operator will say, "Well, that may well be the case, E.T., but you're not being very successful in your attempt to phone home at the moment, and I'm trying to offer you an alternative that might have some chance of working into the future on an ongoing basis." And then E.T. will say, "E.T. phone home." And then someone will check the battery on the animated E.T. character's body, and they'll find that the battery has run out or it's stuck or something, and that's why he keeps saying E.T. phone home. He's supposed to say something else now, but it's not working. And then one of Steven Spielberg's animatronics creators will get sacked. Or did get sacked, I suppose, because E.T. was made in the past. It was made in the 1980s, so I'm talking about the past here, so I should use the past tense in terms of vocabulary. So I just don't think that's a very big deal. Whatever mistakes I may have made in making my choice of tense and grammar, I can still speak better than E.T.
Hello, I'm Dustin Meehan. when I'm in Ireland, I listen to Into Your Head.
Now, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I'm playing Tetris. Not for the first time on Into Your Head. I've played Tetris before. In fact, I once made an episode called The Tetris Downer. And recently I played Tetris on an episode of Into Your Head and made reference to the previous episode in which I had called The Tetris Downer. So we won't backtrack on that again. I don't want to be repeating myself. Repetition is bad. Apparently repetition is bad. Anytime any television station repeats a program, everyone goes mad. They say, you showed that last year and I saw it. How dare you show the same television program twice? I want to be able to watch television 24 hours a day and never see the same thing more than once, even if I don't switch the channel. So there you go. I want value for my money that I spend on the items that are advertised in the commercials on the television. Items such as, for example, televisions. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that's an over-the-top attempt at being ironic. He's talking about people complaining about having to having to watch television in which there are commercials for television. They've already bought the television, and obviously if someone's advertising the television, the point he's trying to make is probably something to do with, I don't know, people who've already bought televisions being having televisions thrust in their face on a television commercial. Well, that's a bit silly, if you ask me. The dawn of digital television, for example, is arriving, and everyone's going to have to get new televisions or new television adapter boxes, or otherwise their old televisions aren't going to work anymore. So something has to be advertised at them, be it a television or a digital conversion box that will convert their television into something digital. If you have an analog television, it needs to be converted into ones and zeros before whatever the deadline is in your area. We haven't set a deadline in Ireland yet, but we won't be able to get British television programmes on our analog televisions unless we do something, basically. We're being urged by the programme makers and the broadcasters to do something. Well, not really. That's not true. The Irish television stations are delighted that we won't be able to get British television anymore. They'll have ourselves to themselves. They'll have the market cornered for analog television, and we'll be the backwards television viewers of the world. Everyone will say, if you have a backwards television, or if you have a truckload of backwards analog televisions that you want to get rid of, flog them in Ireland. They love them. So that's it. Now I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking he stopped, he pressed stop there, and then he came back and started a new segment and went and tried to make it sound like there hadn't been a break in the recording at all. I suspect that he stopped because he needed a cough, because he sounded like he needed a cough coming up to the dash, and then now he doesn't sound like he needed a cough. So I suspect that he used the break in recording time to have a cough, and then he started again, and then he went to make it sound like he had just paused in the middle of a sentence and was thinking about the end of the sentence. Well, you're completely right about that. But the was completely genuine. I was trying to think what to say next. Even if it wasn't in the middle of a sentence that I was continuing to record. Although I was continuing to record, it was just that there was a break of a minute or two. If a man can't stop in the middle of a sentence and just be silent and cough for a couple of minutes, then I don't know what the world's coming to. It doesn't affect you. You didn't have to listen to it. I edited it. It's okay to have long pauses in the middle of a sentence as long as you edit it. If you go into a shop and you say, can I have two tomatoes and then you pause for 10 hours and don't say anything, that's completely fine as long as you have either some sort of stun gun so that you can put the shopkeeper to sleep for the 10 hours so he or she doesn't know that there's been a break in your sentence, or else you have some sort of, I don't know, time travel device, or you have some sort of time editing device so that you can edit out the 10 hours. Either way is fine. You're perfectly entitled to stop in the middle of a sentence. If a man or a woman isn't allowed to pause in the middle of a sentence, then how are we ever going to create music? Music is silences are the cornerstone of music. If you're creating the next Beethoven piece, and you don't stick a few silences in at dramatic moments for effect, then it's not going to be a proper genuine Beethoven piece at all. So don't bother trying to push Beethoven's name on it. He'll sue you, or his descendants will. His great great grandchildren will sue you for saying that it's a Beethoven piece when it's not. Sitting down beside the cat, and then the cat just started going, meow, 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 I'm a cat. And I thought that the phrase "I'm a cat" was superfluous, to be perfectly honest. The meow made it obvious. I don't know of any other animals who meow, unless perhaps some of the big cats do, lions and tigers, but they're cats as well, they're of the cat family. Unless you're obsessed with distinguishing between the domestic cat, house cat, and the wild tiger and lion, I don't know why you'd want to distinguish between them. It's not like you're going to be going into a shop, a pet shop, and saying, "I want to buy a cat, but I want to check first whether the ones you have are domestic cats or wild cats. And I need it to be obvious. So get one of them to meow, and then get the other to meow, and I'll compare meows, and I'll be able to tell." Because I've got an ear for that sort of thing. I've got an ear for cat noises. I can differentiate between them. So I'll be able to tell then.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's program, visit the Stalkers Forum guestbook
and online voicemail system
at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.